Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Uh-oh. It's the PM side of things starting to feel it a little bit. It is game day. 7 hours away. Texans versus the Indianapolis Colts. When it's AM, it's one thing. When it's PM, man, the juice starts going. And oh, by the way, the other thing that you got going for you today, if you want to get excited for a primetime game, if we're just counting our blessings around here, it's a dark day right now. It's a dark, gloomy day. Or is that just our curtains?
I think it's the blinds are down there, Landry.
Okay. I was going to say, feels like it's already getting to that time of day.
I mean, there's a few clouds.
But. Man, we got to pull that up. What is with the people around here?
They're doing that.
We work with vampires or something?
Yeah, they're working on that wrestling podcast.
But the point I'm trying to make is as we get closer to kickoff, Deshaun Watson is going to be running through that tunnel today. The cameras are going to be at the best because it's going to be a primetime game. Always looks better on the TV screen. Always a little bit more energy in the crowd. It's the holiday season, so a lot of people have to use those final off days, John.
Mm-hmm.
What better time to use it than tomorrow on a Friday as we approach Thanksgiving?
No doubt.
It's going to be a lot of three-day weekends here in H-Town.
Sleep in, go do some shopping, send in the loop all your presents.
It's going to be the Colts. They're in town. You remember when the Texans were the whipping boy for the... Well, it's kind of still the case right now.
Did you catch yourself?
Kind of still the case right now. But the point is, it isn't as bad, Figgy. Mm-hmm. It's not as bad. Peyton Manning ain't walking through that door. It's just Jacoby Brissett. What is Jacoby Brissett? 4-0 against the Houston Texans.
Come on,
damn
man.
It. I'm trying, John. I'm trying. But you got Deshaun Watson. That's mm-hmm. really all you got to say. You got Deshaun Watson. There's going to be a light show at 6:50. It's going to be on TV, national TV. The Colts, physical team. They want to run the damn ball. Texans, they pride themselves on stopping the run. What?
What?
Oh, 270 yards rushing Baltimore 4 days ago. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, help me, John. Look. I'm trying to hype. Look, I used to be good at this. Mm-hmm. I used to be good at this.
This is your wheelhouse.
I was 10-0 yep. hyping up Texans games.
Yep.
I would get emails. I would get texts. I would get calls. Mm-hmm. You got me hyped for this thing. I'm still... feeling the effects of the pimp slap I got Sunday in Baltimore. I want to get over this, John.
Well, it's
I'm not enjoying this. I want to get over this. Help me out.
I think the only way I can help you out is one way. Let's go through everything you just said. Defensive line, there's some angst and worry there, right? No JJ, no pressure. Whitney Merciless, defensive front, I should say. Whitney Merciless has been a nowhere man for six games. Secondary, injured all over the place. Offensive line, all of a sudden... Laremy Tunsil's jumping up offsides in key moments every illegal procedure every chance he gets. And they gave up some pressure, seven sacks to be exact last week. Running game, injured at receiver, injured in the secondary. I get it, all right? Those are all real things, and that's why we're anxious. Number four. I mean, that is where you have to hang your hat. And I think there's some meat on that bone. Because first of all, Bill O'Brien has done a pretty good job responding to double digit losses. The next week, he's been able to keep this. Don't get beat twice. You know what I mean? It's like the old college cliche. You know, you lose your big rivalry game, and then you lose to some nobody the next week. You got beat twice because you know you didn't focus the next week. Bill O'Brien is good at getting the team focused. So that's one thing. But number four, man. I mean, the bright lights. We talked about some of the numbers that he's put forward. That guy, doggone Watson, man. I mean, that's what you're hinging everything on today. Number four.
I feel a little bit better about that. Mm-hmm. Put the music back up, Figgy. Let's go. I'm gonna get this done.
Yeah.
I can't let this get the best of me. Texans versus the Colts. It's all on the line. A 75% chance to make the playoffs if you eat the W. A 20% chance to make the playoffs if you taste the L. Mm-hmm. This according to ESPN data. It doesn't get much bigger than this. A lot of times when there's a Thursday night game, it's just a throwaway. You don't have your division rival in town.
Right.
You don't have your division rival heading back to the scene of the crime last year where they ended your season. You remember how much that sucked, John Lopez?
Yes, I do.
You remember how terrible that was? The feeling you had walking out of NRG after the Texans lost to the Colts 21-7?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how much that sucked?
Yes, I do.
Do you want to feel that again?
Never.
Are we going to feel that again?
I don't know.
I want to say you're wrong, John.
I want to say I'm wrong.
You know why you're wrong?
Why?
Because you know what happened the last time Deshaun Watson laid a dud?
He threw some passes and went over some things a couple hours after the game in an empty stadium.
Yeah, and you know what happened at the next game?
Yes, I do.
He was the AFC South Player of the Week.
Yep.
He went out there and he followed it up. He carried this team. So the Texans are going to beat the Indianapolis Colts tonight. And as I'm leaving that stadium, I'm walking to my car, I'm going to be thinking, but you know what? They lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So they might not be one of the elite teams in the AFC. But then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach into my pocket. I'm going to look in the iPhone. I'm going to look at my calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see that 9 days.
That's right.
9 days. The Texans will get a chance to prove themselves again. And who are they going to get that chance against? The most hated, disgusting team.
Drago.
In the entire land. It'll be the first time in 3 weeks that the Houston Astros are no longer the dirtiest team in town. The New England Patriots will arrive at Hobby Airport. And for a brief time period, the Astros will no longer be the biggest cheaters in town. It'll be those New England Patriots. It'll be Bill Belichick looking like he's walking to the corner to get his newspaper with that nasty hoodie, which resembles a fishing shirt that John Lopez wore earlier this week. Don't know what the hell you were thinking, John Lopez.
That was a great fishing shirt.
It'll be Tom Brady, who despite being the GOATs, is the worst quarterback in the league against pressure this year. He is a shell of himself.
Mm-hmm.
This is not Lamar Jackson coming to town next week. This is the ghost of Tom Brady, and this is Bill Belichick. And oh, by the way, the Patriots are only about a 4-point favorite right now. So as bad as things feel right now, the Texans beat the Colts tonight. We eliminate the feeling that we felt on that January day, the first month of 2019. We eliminate that taste. You get in the driver's seat to win the AFC South, and then all of a sudden you look ahead. And instead of looking back at that opportunity in Baltimore to emerge as one of the elite teams in the AFC, you look ahead to New England, Sunday Night Football, 7:20, Brady, Belichick, Julian Edelman. The turdishness will be in the building, and I'm going all in. I feel better already. I am hyped for this game.
Well,
it's less than 7 hours.
It starts in less than 7 hours, and thanks for joining the pregame to the pregame right here. It's on Deshaun Watson. He has to play one of his better games of the year. I don't want to make that a habit, you know, because I don't want him to turn into Tony Romo, as you've accurately pointed out. Just covers a lot of people's mistakes and bad performances by
saves
himself.
Saves all butts.
I don't want him to be that, but he needs to be that today because they're just
what he is.
Well, he has to be it today for them to win.
It's what he is,
because you're not going to win it with your secondary. You're not going to win it with. There might be some plays, but you're not going to win it with your defensive front. You're not going to win it. You know, your offensive line might help, running game might help, but it's going to come down to Deshaun Watson. And you can't get to the Patriots with a loss today. You can't make the Patriots a get well game from the Baltimore Ravens disappointment. Unless you win today. You went over the numbers. 70% chance of winning the division, which goes a long way toward maybe getting back to that level. 20-something percent chance if you lose for each of these teams. So you got to get there today. Today's got to happen. I'm anxious about it, but I think it comes down to number four. It's
better. I feel a lot better. Mm-hmm. I feel a lot better. Let's go to Mahir. Mahir, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, man. How you guys doing?
Terrific.
All right. So, yeah. So, the only reason why I'm calling is because, you know, I've been on Bill O'Brien this whole season. I've been on Bill O'Brien since the last 3 years. I was this guy fired, but this is practically the last year that I'm going to support this guy. It's going to come down in these next two games. And, you know, if we win today, that's all good. You know, we're at the top of the division. But the next game, if Bill O'Brien shits on himself again, it's
come
done.
Oh, you can't throw the S word out there, Mahir. Come on, man. Yeah. You know that. Jeez.
What are you doing?
What are you doing, man?
He sounded like he was making a big point, though.
What are you doing, man? He was trying, but yeah. Come on, man. If we can't say the S word, then come on.
You can't.
Come on, dude. Got to be better than that.
Got to be better.
That's not a game day performance right there.
No, we got to lift the level of play right now.
By the way, I just had my first lemon pepper wing experience.
Not bad, right?
You know that? Yeah.
That was the first time you tried the lemon pepper wing?
No, I'm a honey barbecue. I'll go with some hot. I'll go with some habanero. I'll go with all that. Lemon pepper's not really my thing, Figgy, but it's good. It's good. Very good.
So you got to order only three wings. What are the three wings, Figgy?
John, don't do this.
Just real quick. Real quick. You got me thinking.
Jeez.
Three wings.
Lemon pepper, like a Cajun dry rub, and probably a mango habanero.
Hot, garlic parm, lemon pepper.
Good for you. I'm not playing your little reindeer games. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey guys. So tonight's game, I think, in my opinion, I think key to the game, you have to shut down T.Y. I'm curious on how you think they're going to do that. How does Romeo Crennel approach the T.Y. situation? Who's going to be on him? We know he comes to Houston to eat. And I think it's safe to say you don't win this game if you don't shut him down.
I think that's safe to say, and that's a great question. And I mentioned it earlier if you weren't listening. I think Romeo has to all of a sudden get pretty creative with his blitz packages. He knows the personnel that he has. You're not going to beat T.Y. By playing a lot of zone and giving keeping him in front of you, whatever it may be, whether it's play a two deep and just all that stuff. No, because
you poison him.
You're not going to beat him that way because then Brissett's going to have so much time because he's mobile enough. I mean, he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's mobile enough to move around back there.
Glad you made that clear.
Yeah, and find more time. And if he has more time, T.Y. is going to find a crease and you're going to be dead. I think you have to get creative with the pressure you're bringing.
I think the first key is going to be, we're about 7 hours from kickoff. You're going to hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. I think the first key and the first reason for optimism is going to be in the next 6 hours. Because about an hour before kickoff, you get the actives and you get
minutes.
The inactives.
You 90
get,
minutes before kickoff, you get minutes. The inactives.
You get the actives and you get the inactives. So about 5.5 hours-ish, we're going to find out if Bradley Roby's going to play or not. And if Bradley Roby is going to play, coming off that hamstring injury that's kept him out for north of a month, then I think that's the first sign of optimism in regards to T.Y. Hilton, because he's the guy probably best fit to run around with a guy like T.Y. Hilton. So I think that would be the first key. Now, if he's not in there, then it could get very, very strange because then is Vernon Hargraves? Is it going to be Conley? Bradley Roby's the guy that's best fit to do that. So I think when we see the actives, if Bradley Roby is active, then that's encouraging in regards to stopping T.Y.
And the other part is Tashaun Gibson against, he's been on the injury report. He needs to play well against the tight end. So there's inactive 90 minutes before is going to be very important.
Very, 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 very. And you just mentioned two guys in an already beat up secondary.
Yeah, three guys are out. Three guys are already out. Justin Reed's out.
So you got to look for Gibson and you got to look for Bradley Roby when that injury report comes out. So yeah. I think that's the first step. And then it just gets more and more interesting. And I think that's where, if you don't listen to the pregame show, I'm not just saying this because they're my friends, Sean and Seth, they do a great job. I think it's going to be really good because leading up to that, it's really just about, well, are they going to play? Are they going to play? But as soon as you hear that the inactives, who they are and who is and who isn't going to play, that's when you definitely, if you're not already doing it, which you should be, what the hell is wrong with you? If you're not, that's when you turn on the pregame show, and that's when Seth just gets in a zone, and Seth will start breaking stuff down at an even higher level than he already does. Well, that's his low light, Figgy, but you know what I'm saying. He usually does a pretty good job. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. About 30 minutes, we're going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets. Be listening for the cue to call on a Texans ticket Thursday. 713-572-4610. How you feeling? How you feeling about them Houston Texans heading into tonight's game against the Colts? Will they end the three-game losing streak against Indianapolis? And what do you think? What do you know? What do you fear? We're going to tell you next. 25 minutes, chance to go to the game tonight. All you got to do, listen, call when you hear the cue, come to our studio, scoop up those tickets, head to NRG, and enjoy yourself. It's Ticket Thursday here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610 to get in. Let's go to Charles. Charles, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the concerns about the Texans this year, we don't have an identity. You know, what do we do well enough, better than the other teams, that we can win? You know, we seems like we don't scout well enough to be anybody we scout. We don't, you know, make prepare for them. You know, I'm talking about quality teams.
Right, right.
And then we don't adjust. Doing, you know, like Tom Landry used to adjust at halftime, then he'd come out and beat you. What's the guy at 49ers? He used to adjust during the game.
Kyle Shanahan. Bill Walsh?
No, Bill Walsh, yeah.
Bill Walsh.
And then the Cincinnati Bengals, at one time, you had to adjust to them. And so you were always off. So we don't.
Look, it's funny you mention these things.
He's going old school on us.
That's really old school.
I always appreciate a Tom Landry reference.
I can relate. I watched Tom Landry. But here's the thing.
You probably went to high school with him.
A week ago, I interviewed him once. They did have an identity. I think that Baltimore game, as is common, you know, people.
Do you have to have an identity?
I feel like you do. I really do. Like you play the Texans when they're at their best, and they stop the run and they run those RPOs. That's their identity, and they know, you know, they're coming, and you don't stop them. I think in college, high school, whatever, if you have that identity, you can always. If all else fails, we're going to do this. That went out the window last week. That was gone. They couldn't stop the run. They gave up 263 yards, and the RPOs all of a sudden vanished again. So I think you got to see those things again.
I don't know if the Texans need an identity. I don't even know if
I think every team does.
Do the Patriots have an identity?
Yes.
What?
They take away the one thing you do and they beat your ass. They take away the one thing you do well and they beat your ass.
But
and
they change styles.
And they throw to the slot receiver.
But they switch styles.
That's fine. So do other teams. Colleges change their identities, you know, from run and shoot to whatever, wishbone to whatever. No, I think every team, you have to have one, you know, you have to have that baseline, you know, that baseline thing, that baseline talent that you can always go back to if all else fails.
713-572-4610. Junior, you're on In the Loop on a game day.
What's going on, guys? How y'all doing?
Great, man.
Good, good. Hey, we know that the Colts own us. We know that. You know, we know that they always come and beat us. But today, I'm going to be at that game.
Okay.
And we're going to win that game.
Okay.
Deshaun Watson is going to throw for 400, four TDs. Ooh. Carlos Hyde going to run for 130 with one touchdown. It's going to be a blowout, fellas. I'm telling y'all right now because I'm going to be at that game.
All right,
every
Junior.
Game I attended this year, we've won. So go Texas in this role.
All right, Junior, here's what I'm going to do. You just told me Deshaun's going to throw four touchdown passes. Right now in Vegas, it's over, under 1.5. I'm going to go about 5 units on Deshaun Watson to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't hit it, I'm blaming you, Junior. I'm blaming you, Junior.
Hey, I'm telling you, man, we're going to rock their world tonight, man, because the season is on
now that's
line, and Bill O'Brien knows it, and the team knows it. And the last time that I was at that game in that playoff game, and that left a bad taste in my mouth, and I think we're going to go play Smash Mouth Houston Texans football.
All right, he lost me because Junior said he's good luck because he was at the game
year.
Then he said he was at the playoff game.
That wasn't good luck.
Junior. Damn, man. So much for those 5 units. He told me that he was good luck, and then he told me he was at the playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Junior. I think Junior's as screwed up as I am today.
he brought the heat,
He was
though.
On it.
He brought the heat. Yeah.
But there was that.
I'm so excited because when last time I was there, they lost a playoff game by 2 touchdowns. Wait, what?
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe that. By the way, John, can I propose a new law?
And that is?
If you're behind someone in traffic, if you're behind someone in traffic and you honk at them in a situation in which if they went, they would get in a crash, you should get a citation.
You should. I think that is illegal. Maybe not. I do have a honking opinion, by the way.
Go ahead.
I think honking is not as fierce anymore. It's not as insulting as it used to be. I think more and more people are accepting of a honk because of the cell phone thing. Like if you're at a stoplight and somebody 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if you're at a stoplight, light turns green, and somebody honks at you, wouldn't you have gotten pissed? Like, come on, man, I'm going, you know? But now you're at a stoplight or a stop sign, somebody honks at you, go, oh, hey, thanks, because you're looking at your phone. I think people are more accepting of the honk.
I don't do anything. I don't get in any road rage. Mm-hmm. I just stay out of it.
But don't you think people accept honking better now than they used to?
I think it depends how you honk, too. If you do a little
It's got to be just a little quick.
Yeah.
But I think I just don't think you should ever get mad on the road, man.
Well, people do.
I had a friend die.
Road rage?
Shot.
Ugh.
Had a scholarship to hoop, too.
Oh, really?
Melvin Clemens, rest in peace. Melvin Clemens.
Wow.
Thomas Jefferson High
School. In a road rage?
Road rage. Someone in a van shot him, U-turned, and never found him.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Sucked. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead. Damn, why'd I even bring that up? You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
It's Ryan. Yeah, I don't know what it is about the Colts, but every time we play, it looks like we just choke city sometimes.
Mm.
And I'm a diehard Texans fan, and it's just hard to watch every year. You know, first it was Peyton Manning, then it was Luck, and then now it's this guy who's not even all that great.
Well, we don't know that yet, but he ain't Luck and Manning, that's for sure.
That doesn't really have me too hype.
No, that was not a hype call.
You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go.
So, I mean this with all the greatest respect. Do you think the game's past Romeo by?
No, I think
a good question.
I think it's a very good question. Romeo maybe has never look. The game passes everybody by eventually, and you're thinking, well, but he's got more knowledge. No, it's just how you react, how you respond in certain, how you're prepared physically to go through the rigors of a season. You know, everybody's had that long day where it's a draining day. Well, he's got 100 of those during the course of the season. So. I think the game will catch up to Romeo and has caught up to Romeo in some respects. I think the problems with this defense that we've seen are the same problems Romeo had with defenses when he was 35 years old.
Okay.
You know, the secondary has never been a strength of his, ever. He's run the same thing back there. He's relied on defensive backs coaches more than his own, specialties with the front seven. So I think it's probably caught up with him some, but not as much as you might think.
Let me say this, John. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Tom Landry at the start of this segment. We had the OG call in and mentioned Tom Landry. You could go dig up Tom Landry and revive him, and he couldn't do much with the defensive guys that they have out there right now. So I think we need to be very, very fair to Romeo Crennel when we start criticizing him. You traded Clowney at the start of the season. J.J. Watt got hurt. The secondary's been beat up. I think they just – it's more about the Jimmys and Joes than the X's and O's with Romeo Crennel. I think it's very important to be very fair to Romeo in this situation.
That was going to be my next point. You know, that was what I was going to go to. Yeah, not only has he maybe slowed down a little bit, but he doesn't have J.J. or Clowney or – you know, I mean,
what do you want him to do?
Yeah.
I mean, Bill O'Brien's trading two first-round picks for his offense, and you're making all these trades for offense, bringing Duke Johnson, bringing Carlos Hyde. You draft two offensive linemen. You trade for Laremy Tunsil. You trade for Kenny Stills on offense. And Romeo, well, let's get Clowney out of here and bring in two guys that can't really play.
And you're losing production from Whitney Merciless.
Yeah, well, he has brought in some corners that didn't make it, but really, like I would go easy on Romeo, although I understand the frustration. Pave Tex, what's up? Pave Tex.
Pave Tex. Of
is
all,
he serious?
Of all the listeners.
I mean, I actually answer his call, and he doesn't even, what a loser.
Maybe he's paying you back for hanging him up on him three times.
Well, I mean, so he's giving me dead air? I mean, like, thanks, Pave Tex. Thanks for being a listener to the show, Weasel. It's a Texans Ticket Thursday. We're going to give you a chance to win tickets here in the next 15 minutes. Be listening for the cue to call, and you could be going to the game tonight. All you got to do is come scoop them up today, and then you will be out there at NRG watching the Texans take on the Colts. That's... plus a message from one of our favorites next. Game day. Going to get you there. Be listening the next 20 minutes for the cue to call. You're going to be going to the ball game. Get off work for the rest of the day. Enjoy yourself. There's going to be some traffic. Going to be a light show. About 6:50 if you get in your seats. Game's going to be on Fox. So you're going to have a little bit of, wait for it, Houston. Joe Buck action.
There we go.
Joe Buck. He's hated around here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be calling a football game now.
Does he make reference to the Astros cheating scandal?
Ooh.
He covered the World Series. Last time I was in this city.
Man.
Yes or no?
No.
I don't think so either. But it's on the board. It's absolutely on the board.
Mm-hmm. Twitter would break.
Yeah, it would.
If he did that. Twitter would absolutely erupt if Joe Buck did that. Man. Nah, he won't. He wouldn't do that.
Nah, I think he's too much.
He wouldn't do that.
He's too much of a company man there. He's not going to just all of a sudden. Because they barely mentioned it, the Taubman thing, what, maybe once?
Yeah, he's not going to do that. Yeah. That would be a little bit too much. I've talked about my emotions heading into this game and how I feel about the game in front of us 4 days in the aftermath of the Baltimore massacre. But I want to hear what Think Tank Dank has
yeah, me
to
too.
Say. One of our favorite loopholes, and everybody who listens is a loophole. We very much appreciate you. Think Tank Dank, he's been working nights. He's been working nights doing the dangerous work that he does, basically climbs tanks, climbs buildings, does all that type of stuff. But in between, he's allegedly been known to, what would you say, Figgy? What would you say Think Tank Dank does when he's not working? Well, that's let Stephen A. say it for you.
That's pretty direct.
Here is Think Tank Dank on game day here on Sports Radio 610.
Hey, guys. I just want to put my two buds in on the game tonight with a hypothetical. I guess it's not really a hypothetical. Is it? Nah. All right, so I've been building I've been finishing a barn for a while now. So I have the structure done, and I'm just lacking a roof. So with tonight's game, hypothetical aside, I got to thinking. Roofs cave in no matter how structurally sound they're built. Everything can be perfect, but then BAM! Roof collapse on a horse, and next thing you know, Mr. Ed is a glue stick bound to the leaves on a paper on the fridge that my 4-year-old thinks looks like my dead horse. So long story short, what is B.O.B.'s ceiling? We have seen his ceiling. He has the weapons, he has the talent, and he has the butt chin. But can he build his pitch to a gable? Later, guys.
Dude,
he needs to get some sleep.
God, that blew me away.
He needs to get some sleep.
I might have to hear that 3 or 4 times before. Not on the air. But
I was going to say.
Mind, that was some serious ganja.
What the hell is wrong with him?
No, your ceiling and the gables and every roof collapses. That's one of those where you just go on this tangent and you know you're in that hole. You know in the rabbit hole and you just keep digging and digging and digging. But Dank is one of a kind, man. He's a good loophole.
But when you're really in a zone like that and you know you're on the tangent.
You think it makes sense?
Yeah, you can even when you can tell people are kind of zoning you out, you just keep going in that rhythm.
Hold on. Seriously, dude. Listen, hear me. Hold on.
How much did a bag of weed cost in your day?
I can tell you exactly because I've never
been. Oh, I know you can. That's why I asked you.
Yeah. So how much does, well, we used to call them a lid. Are they still called the lid?
I don't know what that means.
You've never heard of that, Figgy? You never heard of a lid?
There's a store called Lids where you can get hats. No. You still have those?
A lid was, what is it? A bag? You know, what's like a, not a quarter ounce, an ounce? 2 ounces, something like that?
2 ounces?
Yeah.
John, you ain't buying no quarter ounces. You're talking about a dime bag?
No, let me see. What was a lid in marijuana? Let's go to the Google machine.
A lid?
Yeah. It was... Y'all don't know that? Our texters will know. Our older texters will know. A lid was 28 grams.
28 grams?
Yeah.
What was this, like that dirt green?
No, no. It was like a like one of those sandwich bags. It was basically a sandwich bag half full of weed.
Okay.
That's a lot of weed, right?
Yeah.
$40.
$40?
Yep. What would that cost now?
I mean, if it's just, I know the quality was a little less. What would 28 grams now sell? I don't know. I'd have to ask PaveTex.
Well, I'm sure our tech, you know, we have the perfect.
Just kidding. We have the PaveTex.
We have the perfect audience that'll tell. Yeah, see, the older guys are coming in. 28 grams is an ounce. A lid is an ounce of that hippie.
Text line blows up when we ask questions like this. I ask y'all what the key to tonight's game is, and y'all ain't saying a damn thing, but you just throw this out there, and my gosh. Refresh.
I remember this term, too, a four-finger bag. So that much weed was $40 when I was at A&M. So now how much would it cost? 713-572.
Like an ounce is probably like a couple hundo.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's not. It's a little better than what you were getting.
I mean, I don't know what the difference is.
How much did the other stuff that you used to partake in cost?
I never partook in that. you just do that all the time. Reggie says it was $35 in the 90s, so maybe I got taken.
Reggie?
Yeah.
Reggie, mm-hmm. Reggie.
180 to 300 now, somebody says. That sound right?
300.
Depends on the hydro goes 200, 400.
400?
Yeah.
What kind of people are you ripping off there, Chief? Good Lord.
A lot of people. Look, I've got several texts. 175 to 200, 160, 200 to 400, 180 to 220. God, we got a lot of people that smoke weed that listen to us.
And you know the thing is, it's not just your like stereotypical jamoke. These are like lawyers and stuff.
No, of course. Of course.
Like your lawyers and your accountants. Here we go. Mm-hmm. I mean, Frank, go ahead.
Hey, this is Frank, man. In the 70s, when I was smoking, 72, 73, 74, a lid was called a four-finger bag. You hold out your hand straight out, you count your four fingers from the bottom to the top.
That's right.
Delete the thumb, and it was going for $10.
$10?
$10.
$10 in Houston, because I smoked a bunch of it back then. Acapulco Gold, you name it.
I remember Maui Wowie. Remember some Maui Wowie?
Maui Wowie, all that there.
Yep.
Colombian Gold.
Oh, I remember. See, now you're talking my language. Back. And I didn't smoke a lot of weed.
OG, you're a lot cooler than I.
Yeah, me?
Damn, Frank, appreciate you. Dude, he just said exactly what you said.
Yeah, four-finger bag, a lid. They had Maui Wowie. What was the other one that we used to, the homegrown? And I didn't smoke weed in college very often, maybe once every month, you know, at a party or something. But my roommate grew it in our...
What?
My roommate grew weed.
It's a felony, bro.
Yeah, well, we lived out in the country. Grew it
still a felony.
In the trailer where I was living.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go to Alex. Alex, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Hey, tell Lopez in 75... I used to get a lid of Colombian Gold for $10.
Wow, man, $10 was the price in H-Town, huh?
Yeah, so I guess at A&M.
So I guess
I was in the A&M in the 80s, yeah, early 80s.
It probably increases because it's hard to get in A&M.
Yeah.
So someone was probably taking it from Houston to A&M, and they were doubling it.
It was like $40, $35, $40.
But in H-Town, these H-Town OGs that are talking 70s, they're telling you no. It's like the supply and demand. It's like two for one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what's X here. By the way, right now, be listening for the cue to call. We're going to give you a chance to win those Texans tickets.
When did it stop being called a lid? Are you serious? You've never heard it that?
Nah. In my day, it was grams, eighths, quarters, mm-hmm. ounces, and some people call it ounces, zips.
Okay.
Zips.
Okay.
So I guess zip was the thing instead of the lid.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, it just changes. You know, stuff changes. Mm-hmm. Football changes. These kind of things change. But you know what? When I call you the OG, you are the OG. You are the OG. We need to take John Lopez on the south side and just have him post up. Just hold court.
Depends on the neighborhood, but I could hold court.
I don't think it does depend on the neighborhood with you.
Not as much.
That's what I think. There are some people that it might depend on the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I don't think it does depend on the neighborhood with you, OG.
Probably not.
713-572-4610.
I'm a man of the people, man.
It's a little education right there with the OG. Thanks to all the OGs for calling in. Texans versus the Colts. John Lopez is calling someone out. You've been calling someone out all throughout the day. You haven't specifically just been saying put up or shut up, but you said earlier today you had two guys that are going to impact this game more than we're talking about in Justin Houston for the Colts mm-hmm. and Zach Cunningham for the Texans on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
But it seems like you think that the one guy on this Texans team, I don't want to say that you feel like he's been getting a free pass, but I'm kind of sensing that you feel like he might be getting a free pass, is Whitney Mercilus.
Well, he might be. I haven't said those words, but he might be just because he's so likable. Whitney Mercilus is one of the most likable people in that locker room. He's one of the most likable for fans. He's very good with the media. By the way, just being good with the media goes a long way in protecting someone's performance, right? Like somebody who's a jerk or whatever and has a few bad games, people are just torching him. But a real good dude like Whitney Mercilus, he gets a pass. And I'm talking about us. I'm talking about radio, newspaper, online, media types. Give Whitney Mercilus a big pass. And I don't think it's unfair. In fact, I'm sure his coaches have pointed it out. And I'm sure he's looking in the mirror and trying to get himself going. But how do you go from five sacks in the first four games, four forced fumbles in the first four games, to zero forced fumbles and half a sack in the next six games? How do you do that? He's fallen off a cliff. He's not on the injury report. Whitney Mercilus, I called Zach Cunningham the most important player on the defense tonight, in part because I can't count on Whitney Mercilus.
John, there was a time, and this ain't no lie. Figgy can vouch for this. Anyone can vouch for this. There was a time where a few games into the season, there were people texting up here, calling up here, saying, Clowney who? Whitney's a better player than Clowney.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, even before Clowney, even when Clowney was just rumored to be on the block, people were like, we asked him. Remember we had Whitney on? What's it going to be like now that you're playing with Clowney's role and you're going to be able to have that job and be able to pressure the quarterback a lot more? He was thrilled. He was thrilled with us. People were like, oh, don't worry about Clowney. Whitney's going to be better at it anyway. Guess what? He's not. I sounded like Stanford Rat right there. He's not. I mean, and so that's where he needs to step it up.
Stanford's ability to interview himself is awesome. Like, he will come in here and just interview himself, and it's just like you just sit back and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look up at the clock, it's like, this dude's been talking for 4 minutes, but he's interviewing himself. No, seriously, like, it's just ask me to preview the game. I'll be Stanford Route.
All right, no, I'll ask you a question.
Yeah, just ask me a question, mm-hmm. and I'll be Stanford Route, and I'm just going to interview myself about the game. Go ahead.
Stanford, am I wrong about Whitney Mercilus and he's fallen off a cliff?
He has fallen off a cliff. He's only got five sacks. And what do you need to do to put pressure on Jacoby Brissett? Guess what? You got to get sacks. And how do you get sacks? Guess what? Romeo Crennel's got to schematically go out there and do his thing. And by the way, after you get those sacks, you got to score points. How do you score points? Guess what? You got to sit there and you got to sit there like Deshaun Watson and make the throws. And you know what? After you make the throws, what do you have to do when the throws are made? Guess what? You got to catch the ball. Stanford could interview himself.
He's good, though. He's opinionated.
Hey, I'm not hating. I love having Stanford on a well-spoken Wednesday. I'm just saying. Guess what? You can. Guess what?
Oh, that's good.
He can do it. You know who else can do that? Phil Sims.
Oh, and by the way, yeah, Phil Sims. This is the second text I've seen, and we might have gotten more similar to it. Somebody saying, well, he's fallen off because of J.J. Watt. No, no, no. Listen, 6 games. Only the last 2 have been without J.J. So he's gone 6 games without a sack. Now, clearly the J.J. factor is there. But what about the other 4 games? You know, that the first 4 games, 5 sacks. Next 4 games, half a sack with J.J. on the field for all 8.
It's been really kind of a snowball effect because J.J., before he got hurt, he only had 4.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He was on pace for single-digit sacks, and that's not something we think of with J.J. And him and Clowney were 2 of the top 5 most double D linemen in the league. So yeah. Clowney was getting more attention because he wasn't with J.J. J.J. was getting more attention because he wasn't with Clowney. And now all of a sudden, Whitney, because J.J.'s out,
he's but that's really, more like I said, just the last 2 games. And so now you can't expect much from Whitney Mercilus. So I've called it. I mean, I think the 2 biggest players on the field are Justin Houston for the Colts and Zach Cunningham for the Texans.
It's just kind of unfortunate that when we head into this offseason, the number one need is going to be pass rusher.
That's something.
I mean,
you had him.
Yeah, you've invested all these corners. You got the offensive line, but the number one need is going to the number one need is going to be pass rushers, and that's what you're going to be going for. So it's something to keep an eye on. Hey, guess what? Right now, I'm going to give you a chance to go see the game tonight. And you got to get them today.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to come through here at the Greenway Plaza Studios. You got to get them and then roll out there. There's going to be traffic. You might as well just tell your boss, hey, I got tickets to the game. I got to go. I'm going to take my day off. We all got vacation days right now. Just get out there. Thursday night football, 3-day weekend, Texans versus Colts. What better way to do it? And that's courtesy of your friends here at Sports Radio 610 on a Texans Ticket Thursday. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig. The focal point of Myles Garrett's appeal centers around a former Houston Texan, and he might have a point. And speaking of that appeal, you knew it was coming. We'll tell you what it was next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.